Welcome to a bonus edition of the Smuggler's Den, brought to you by Game Empire. You can find them on the web at GameEmpirePasadena.com. Go there for all your gaming needs. And come by the shop this Thursday for the Edge of Darkness release party.
I feel like you have to put air quotes around the party there.
It's going to be a party. Like I said last time, Christmas has lost a little luster as you get older. This is better than Christmas. This is a party.
What if something really good comes out for Star Wars at Christmas time?
Well, then Christmas would be great again also.
All right,
but I don't think... I'm gonna go. This is going to sound unusual for me to make a hyperbolic statement. But I don't think there's going to be anything ever in the game that's better than this box.
Wow.
But mainly that's because the card pool is so small that this is going to make the game a lot better, I think.
I mean, I was thinking about it. I don't know. I'm not really good at numbers. And just because Tiny hasn't introduced me yet, this is obviously the Smuggler's Den co-host, Ben Tully, Scarlet Knight on the boards. I was thinking about it. How many objectives? Does anybody know how many objective sets we have out right now? Like, how many? What's the total number?
I believe it's 16.
No, I don't think that's right. What are we at, like 60-something? 58? 58. There we go. And so this is 22. This is like a third. 33% increase in the number of cards in one week.
Yeah, that's going to be a week to remember. A week to reckon.
I don't even want to start thinking about what the next, big set is going to be. Like, what the next decks are going to be. It really intimidates me right now.
And I have really bad news. On Thursday, I have to leave really early, too. So it's like the box drops, and then it's like, oh, and this is the night I got to leave early. Bye. So
I'll be there until close.
Yeah. And my wife was even like, you can't go because we're, we have these plans for Friday. And I'm like, no, I think you misunderstood. I'm going. I can just come home a little earlier. So that's what's going to happen. So I'll be there at like, I'm going to call the store and say, what time do you open? And I'll be there 10 minutes before that, trying to find a way into the store.
They might not even have their product by then. They're just going to be like breaking and entering for no reason.
Right. Like the dude, when he brings the product in, I'll be like, don't worry, I got that.
You're going to just take the boxes off the truck for him?
Yes, exactly. I'll help him. I'll get him some coffee. And then I'll be rolling around in my new cards. So it's going to be great.
Oh, God.
And that's unfortunately, terrible. Or fortunately, the pack we're spoiling today will not be part of that. But that's all right. It'll be out soon after. Are we thinking at the end of this month?
I mean, it should be. I mean, we're almost at the end of the month as it is right now. So if we're talking about Edge of Darkness this Thursday, if FFG were to keep to a regular production schedule and release schedule, I would think we'd have it by Wednesday of next week, at least at Game Empire. That tends to be the release. Isn't it?
Ugh, I don't think so.
I don't even know what that means anymore.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I know that...
Within the next 2 to 3 weeks, I guess.
Tim keeps close track of what's on the boat and what's shipping and is usually angry about it. So I bet we could ask him.
Yeah, he probably has an answer.
Yeah. Our viewers are saying, no, it's not shipping yet. So, yeah, so it's not shipping yet. That's great.
It means nothing.
I would like to give another request to our viewers. We made this request before, but Ben and I are either lazy or stupid or both. We still don't have intro music. That's not intentional. We just don't have it.
I don't know if we have the skills.
Right, exactly. If some creative individual would like to make us some music, we would be forever grateful and talk about you in perpetuity, about your greatness.
Yeah. That would probably be true.
Yeah. So.
All right, Tiny. I think we should do this.
Yeah, I think so too. All right.
Let's do it.
So here we go. So the first card that we spoiled, greatest spoiler ever, we spoiled a card that had already been spoiled.
To be honest, though, it was like a half spoil, right? Like, some of those words were covered up, maybe. Like, you didn't know if there were more words based on that spoiler, if there were more words afterhand. Like,
I'm going to look at the spoiler right now here. Let's see how stupid we are. I had forgotten what was spoiled.
Yeah, that's completely true, too.
I was kind of embarrassed. Oh, yeah, no. Yep, the spoiler was, return this unit to your Could have been binder.
Yep. Box.
Boots. Could have been a lot of things. Probably hand was going to be most likely.
Return to your hand. Remove a focus token from an objective.
Yeah, there were so many possibilities.
So many, but that probably is already too long, right?
So
there.
Many possibilities.
Except you know what the downside to it, Tiny, is with the shadow operative. About that,
there's
is
a downside.
It, is that there's two of them in this objective set? So we were spoiling it.
Oh yeah, right.
And I was actually to spoil it that there's two of these in the objective set.
Right. Yeah. So there are two of this card. What do you think of the card, Ben?
It's a flexible weenie.
Yeah, I really, really like this weenie. One-cost characters that have blast icons are really good because you can throw them in. It puts a lot of pressure on your opponent to block them, or that's just free 2 damage from the unopposed. And then even if they do waste their blocker, then you can just bounce them back to your hand, either use them for an edge battle for later, or just play him next turn. Basically, he's going to be a really hard guy to kill if you don't want him to die.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of just a lot of flexibility, right? I mean, a static 1/1 weenie on the board who doesn't have a weenie without an ability is obviously going to be worse than a weenie with an ability, even if that ability is kind of, it's a fairly complex thing of returning it to your hand. When do you want to do it? How are you going to do it? What's it going to do to you in terms of the board state? Type thing.
Yeah, I mean, there also is a problem that if you're not planning to use him in an edge battle, it's now clogging your hand. Would you really rather draw this one-cost weenie next turn, or would you rather draw Han? And so that'll be a decision that you're really going to have to think about. Do I want to return him to hand? Do I really want to have him again? But I love the flexibility. He seems like he could very easily be one of those pro cards where there's just so many different things you can do with this guy. And if you can somehow, if you have Echo Caverns out, and then you have the option of like, well, he could also have a blaster icon or a unit icon if they're not careful. And there's just a lot of things that could happen. And like someone said in the stream, are they really going to waste a force choke on him? They might have to.
Right.
And that would be almost even better. Cool, you wasted your force choke on this guy? Great, let's do that again. I'll play another one, and you can waste another force choke. So, yeah, I like this guy, or a gal, or whatever it is. I think this androgynous being is pretty darn good.
Okay, yeah, I agree. So let's see, what
any,
do we have next?
Any comments from the Peanut Gallery? What do you guys think?
Oh,
great,
boy.
Good, decent, junk. All right.
I don't know, peanuts is the... That's not what we want. I don't want pizza.
Well, that's interesting. So we're getting
androgyn-tastic. I like that.
So good. Jarrett says meh. What is Jarrett? No, that guy's only won one regional. If TGO had weighed in, the 2-time winning TGO, we'd be much more interested.
Play more.
7 out of 10. That seems a pretty reasonable.
It's a good chud. Yeah, I agree.
Yep, I agree with all that. All right, I'll bring up the next card that's already been spoiled. Let's see. What are we working out? The Tactical Retreat? Was that
Tactical Retreat is the next one.
All right. Yeah, cool. So now we've got Tactical Retreat. This is a pretty cool card. I love one-cost events. I feel like with Smugglers and Jedi... one cost is perfect. You can often save one back. And if you do, you are threatening so many things. You're threatening Stinging Insult. You're threatening Don't Get Cocky. You're threatening Swindled. There's so many different things you can threaten with just that one.
Yeah, one is it's a sweet spot for events. Because having one resource left over when you're deploying units isn't unheard of, right? Especially if you've played most of your hand, conversely, if you haven't played a lot of your hand, your opponent could be like, look, he's stuck with all this stuff, this is going to be great. Sometimes paying attention to that one available resource just doesn't happen, right? Where if there's two open, you're looking for the things that can come with two resources. You're looking for the Rebel Assault, If you're playing the dark side, you're looking for the detained. If you're playing something on like against a Navy player, especially if there's three resources open, I mean, you're looking for that Force Lightning. You're looking for their ability to play Killing Cold before, or Desolation of Hoth before their refresh phase. There's a lot of stuff that goes on there. But at the same time, when there's one, it can slip by pretty quickly.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and the great thing about one is that even if it's just in the deck, but not in your hand, they still don't know. They're like, well, did he leave one back because he just didn't have enough stuff to play? Did he intentionally leave it back? One is just such a great cost number.
Right.
The question is, what does it do for you? So return any number of units to hand.
You what control are you thinking, to your hand.
What are you thinking seems most interesting with this card? I know what I'm thinking I'm most intrigued by.
I know. You have your super secret Leia combo.
Super secret? I've been streaming
been
it and talking about it.
Streaming it and talking about it. Maybe Sequence gets air quote there, too.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Because it doesn't seem all that secretive.
I mean, I see this in a, and I'm not entirely sure how it would work out. I'm really bad at visualizing how things work before I actually play them. Hence the reason why I was like, this Cole Sarah objective is going to be the bomb. But I just see, I can see it fitting into a weenie rebel deck where you're playing Y-Wings and X-Wings, maybe hopefully having defensive Yavin 4 on the table. And you put all your units down and you attack and or defend or whatever combination of it. And when your opponent thinks they have you, you can just bounce all your cards back to your hand and try it again. I mean, I just feel like there's that opportunity there. That seems so often where, like, if I could just do something where I can pull these units away from this engagement that has gone totally south, I might, you know, it might have been worth it to keep these cards around.
Yeah, it does seem like, again, a really flexible card that you could set up a specific combo with, like, Leia or the Holdout Blaster that we already saw and we'll see again in a minute. Or you could do, like you're saying, like that emergency card, like, all right, I'm going to throw Han in here. I know I'm going to win this. I'm going to be fine. Then, because they have like one unit damage only in the battle. But then they play Heat of Battle after a twist or after two twists and steal that edge battle from me that you thought for sure you had won. They heat him and you're like, oh no, Han's going to die. And you could just go tactical retreat. Han will be back next turn.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of options there. I mean, it helps you. It's a very complex card, I think, in its interactions with the cards that are currently in the card pool. And probably will continue to be that way even more so. And so it'll just be interesting to see what happens in terms of people playing it and when they play it and how that affects the game overall.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting card to see how it shakes out. I think, and I'm going to say this more generally about this pod, I think this is a combo pod. More than anything. I think more than emergency, you're going to be using it specifically in a combo setting.
Right. Yeah, I can see that.
All right, shall we move on to the next card?
Yeah, let's do the next card.
All right. I know everyone is excited to see this card.
Seeing as we spoiled it already?
Yes. It's very exciting stuff. And of course, it's not working. What is going on? All right, so... Shut up, Ben. My technical difficulty should not amuse you so much.
It amuses me every time.
Let's see. Let's try that. No. That's really weird. All
what right. did you do last time? Like, just do what you did, exactly yep. what you did last time.
I am, but I just didn't think I had to do that. I got to apparently go to different things. But now I got to figure it out.
All right.
What is the Holdout Blaster? Boom, there it is.
Got to give it some time to get up on the stream. There it is.
All right. So the Holdout Blaster. Apparently too big of a blaster? I don't know. It looks
That's
fine
been
to
the
me.
Comment on the Facebook page. Based on Star Wars lore, that Holdout Blaster in that picture is too big.
Wow. Well, looks fine to me. But I am not the master of Star Wars lore. It's funny. When I was like 20, I thought I was because I'd seen... all three movies a bunch of times, and then I ran into people who are actually Star Wars nuts, and I was like, oh, so I'm just some dude with 40 Stormtrooper figures. Okay.
Yeah. That's really... It does sound like you, though, right? Believing you're the best at it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Even though you have no expertise in it whatsoever.
I mean, here's a good story. In fourth grade, I assumed I was the chess champion of the world and quit playing chess because I was, quote, too good at it and no one could beat me. Like, because I beat everyone in my class, then I beat my teacher, and I was like, yep, I'm the best who ever lived. Time to find something different to do.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's realized that I don't know anything about Star Wars. I just like the movies. But yeah, so what do we think of this bad boy?
This card can be so crazy. It's insane. So it's for people, if it's blurry, it's a one cost neutral enhancement. Enhance a Smugglers and Spies character unit, limit one per unit. While you control fewer units than your opponent, double enhanced units, combat icons. And it's not even printed combat icons, Tiny.
Wow.
So you just start stacking icons. You can add icons using Smuggler's Cavern, right? You can add icons.
Echo Caverns.
Echo Caverns, yeah. Whatever. Same card, different name. You can add it with cool. The Don't Get Cocky.
Oh, my God. That might be a little bit overkill at that point to be like, don't get cocky. I'm a guy who already has one. Double it. He's got like 7 blast icons.
Yeah, I was gonna say, look, somebody's got it in the stream right there. What do you mean? How can Han with 4 targeted unit damage be a bad thing?
Yeah, that's. Oh yeah, and you can munitions expert.
You can munitions expert.
Oh my goodness, yeah, that's gonna be Han targeted strike with trust your feelings and hold out blaster equals. They better have a Force Lightning, or they just lost.
Yeah, that is that comes so overpowered right there in just such a short amount of time. Yes, you have to keep fewer units. So as soon as Han goes over that limit of executing their entire board, you lose the double icons. But I don't know if that's gonna be a problem.
That's true. And of course, it combos amazingly well with Tactical Retreat and Shadow Operative. So you're like, I'll attack with Shadow Operative. I'll attack with the other one, bounce both of those guys. You know, I'll attack with a couple other guys. Yep. I'll tactical retreat them back to my hand. Now that I have less dudes than you, Han destroys your world.
Right. I mean, you could say unopposed, right? You have more units than they do. And somebody has a tactic or the holdout blaster on them. It has, and you say you have more units than your opponent. Han has the holdout blaster. You attack with Han. They go, it doesn't matter. I don't have the units to defend this or whatever. I'm going to die anyway. That have whatever the excuse is, you have more cards in your hand than your opponent, so you're going to win the edge battle for sure. And then you play Tactical Retreat and make it so that you have less units than they do, and all of a sudden you can just boop, 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 take out everything with Han.
Yeah. I don't know about everything because you need a way to refresh him.
Yeah, that's fine.
But the beauty is, this is the ultimate combo that I'm seeing, is you play it with Leia, and so then you have like just Leia and Han out. You know, you attack with Han with his doubled icons. Then you remove Leia back to your hand, and then do it again. That seems pretty good.
Yeah, it sounds like it'll be lots of fun stuff.
Yeah. I'm not sure it's going to be, like, a tier one amazing build, because the way this game tends to work is you just, because there's no resets right now that are actually viable, you just flood the board with stuff. So, like, if your opponent floods the board with, say, like, a Desolation of Hoth deck, and you return all your dudes to hand, or whatever, you try to make sure you have less dudes on the board, it could end up being a problem, depending on who this blaster's going on. Plus, then, that person's a big target. Like, if they can just triple tactics that guy with Palpatine and lock him out, you know, you've built so much of your deck around having less units that I could see that being a problem. So we'll have to see kind of how it works out in practice.
Yeah, I mean, I think the objective set as a whole, as we, you know, the last two cards will spoil, people would see. It's one of those, it's just like so many of the other ones, where if it had one or two different cards, it would be like a really strong set, like probably overly strong, and maybe it would be in everyone. But here you have to really make a decision, because it's a lot of events, it's an enhancement, it's a lot of weenie characters. So
it's not really that many characters either. That's the problem.
It's just two.
I mean, we've only seen the two
weenie characters.
And, like, even in the current card pool, I would look at this and be like, I could use it in the combo deck, But am I really putting this in over Luke, Yoda, Obi-Wan, Han, any of these? Now you add in stuff like Chewie, Falcon, Lando. It becomes a lot harder to be like, yeah, I'll put this pod in with no decent units over, you know, one with resources and good units. So we'll have to see how it ends up shaking out. But in a vacuum, so far, I'm really liking the pod.
Yeah. So I think it's now time, Tiny, to move on.
To actually cars, spoil stuff?
To cars that we have yet to spoil.
Spoil
anywhere.
Stuff for real. Okay. I guess we can now.
Yep. So I
think we've built up the suspense long enough to where people are ready to...
It's there. You can see it.
Did anyone read that? All right. So why don't you read it for us, Ben?
Sure. This is a two-cost Smugglers and Spies event with two Force icons called Narrow Escape. It reads, interrupt. When your opponent chooses a single target for a non-capturing card effect, choose a new target for that effect. The new target is chosen as if you executed the effect.
So, didn't we just say they better have a Force Lightning or they're boned?
Yeah. Well, let's hope that they don't have a focused character when they use their Force Lightning.
That would be awesome. I'll Force Lightning Han. No, you'll Force Lightning Palpatine.
Oh,
sorry.
I wish it was, you know, I like the art. I think the art is very cool here. But in that scenario, right, I feel like you would need art with, like, a Jedi with a lightsaber turning back the Force Lightning, like Mace Windu did in Episode 3, and like blowing up people, and but oh well. Yep. I mean, this is a pretty cool art too.
Oh, so you're saying you would? Oh, but that's just because of the way the game.
Right, just because of the game works. Yeah.
I think Narrow Escape is thought to be a Falcon move.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think that the art is perfect. The only problem, of course, is it's two.
Right.
It's really hard to save back two without being obvious about it.
It happens. I mean, it'll be one of those things where, and I see this happen a lot, where the card pool is young. When the new cards are young, people are not going to be expecting it. They're going to be like, oh, two resources. I don't even know what event they could play right here. You know, 3 months from now, everybody's going to be like, oh my God, that two resources means they have a Narrow Escape. Oh, I'm going to be so boned right now.
Maybe. I mean, this is one of the things people have been talking about is, you know, certainly the top handful of players are going to have perfect card knowledge. The question is going to be, like, especially a pod like this, let's say it doesn't see much play, and it gets kind of relegated to that, well, there's no big units in it, I would love to play it, I just can't find room, and then someone breaks it out at Worlds, there's a really good chance most people are not going to remember this card.
Right.
Because the card pool is growing. That handful of people at the top will know every card. I hope that I am one of these people that can remember every single card. But I already don't.
I know I won't be one of those people. I'm going to show up at Worlds and just be like, oh, yeah, I think I remember what some of those cards do.
Yeah. So we'll see. But if people remember that it's two. And the other thing is, if Smugglers and Jedi and Rebels get more resources, then you might get to that point where there's two open. Like with my Devastating Sith deck, there's tons of times late game where I have two open, three open, you know, maybe I'm thinking I'm going to use the Devastator, maybe I just couldn't play everything, and in that case this card would be totally game breaking.
Yeah,
but it's already going to be a good card just to, if nothing else, if you leave two open and they have a Force Lightning in hand and you don't have this in hand, they may be like, well, I'll see if he's got two next turn. It's right. Just not worth it.
Yeah, it can be a, your opponent is aware of it, they're going to play differently. And if they're not aware of it, they're going to walk right into the trap.
Yep. The one downside, and it's not really a downside of the card, it's just a downside of how Vader works, is he's still going to get his ping. So like if they Force choke someone and you spend two to Narrow Escape it, to bounce it to say their resource chud, Vader is still going to get to ping one of your dudes.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so, and yeah, it has two Force icons, which is awesome. It's a good card, I think.
Yeah.
Is it the card you're most excited about so far out of the four?
I mean, I think it potentially has the ability to be the most game-altering card of the objective set. I think the other cards in there are good. There's some synergy with them that makes them really interesting to play. It'll make it fairly complex. I feel like this card is like, this is the reason I would play this pod, right? It's like, it's a very similar to like, there are times where like, Yoda's pod is really good. Yoda's good. The resource is good. There are sometimes I play it exclusively for the Counter-Strike.
Yeah, I could see that.
And so if I could have another option of not having to play Counter-Strike, but being able to play something else, I would be inclined to think about it more often.
Yeah, for me, this pod is built around Tactical Retreat. I feel like that's the money card because it makes it a combo pod.
Right.
But Narrow Escape is probably going to be the reason why I'll say like, well, there's a bunch of pods I could use for my combo pod. You know, I'm not really using a lot of Broken Smuggler's character, so Holdout Blaster's not going to be great. But Narrow Escape sure is good. And that might be one of the things that pushes me over.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
All right. So the last card of the pod. How about you do some of that homemade music you were dropping on us earlier?
I don't know if I'm going to do that much homemade music.
That we didn't know that everyone could hear.
Everybody could hear. Oh, the internet is the best.
All right.
And so this is, I think, when people see this objective, they're going to understand why this pod is right there on the edge of like, you know, there's people discussing it right now about if there's resources, you know, how limited it can be. I think this, the objective itself alters how playable this objective set is.
Yes, I agree.
Yes. the response is immediate once it's up there on the screen.
So we've got, after your opponent refreshes, draw to your reserve value if you control fewer units than your opponent. So there's a couple ways I look at this. The first one, I've been talking about combo decks. I feel like this is the ultimate combo objective because it helps you cycle through your deck way faster. So you could do something where, like, you don't get the pieces of your combo. Oh, I'm in trouble here. You know what? I'm going to do a bad attack just to dump my whole hand, make sure I have less cards, draw up to my reserve value, still didn't get the combo. They attack, dump my whole hand again. You're able to really cycle through that entire deck quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, it'll be interesting if that's the case that people use it for, because we'll probably get to the period of time where you actually start people decking themselves in competitive games if you're going through and redrawing to your reserve value every time.
Yeah.
But what I see it really is an advantage of is that I don't know how everybody else tends to play, but especially with like a deck like the Desolation of Hoth deck that's going around where the dark side is trying to put down lots of cards, like more cards than the light side player has. I feel like the biggest disadvantage the light side has is when they are deploying and they have less units, they deploy down and then they don't have the cards for defense on the edge battle. And so if at the start of your opponent's turn, you can draw up to six cards and have six cards for that defensive set of edge battles, I just think that's when it gets a little crazy.
Yeah. I think this card is going to be really great in like a Yavin 4 Rebel deck, where with Yavin 4 you're able to often play like two really good units. But in order to do that, you have to dump your whole hand.
Right.
You're just hoping they don't drop something big. And this would just allow you to immediately draw up, be able to defend with, say, your speeder with the tactics icon with a full hand, giving you a pretty good chance to win that and tactics out, say, a Palpatine or a Vader or whoever it is that they're attacking with.
Yeah, just whoever's attacking. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think that's really where the advantage comes for this. It allows you in that situation that, and maybe it's just because I played that Rebel deck enough times to know that it happened frequently, right? So a lot of that Rebel deck strategy that I had was you kept putting out units and not attacking with it. You put out Rebel card, you know, you put out units, people going, why aren't you attacking? Because the idea was you were trying to build up a big enough board presence. But also it's because you can't win those edge battles. And so if all of a sudden you could win edge battles on defense, I just think it really changes the tone of the game.
Yep, I do too. The question is going to be, of course, can you fit it into that kind of deck? Like, does this even fit in a Rebel Yavin 4 deck?
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, and that's really where it's going to be interesting. Like, if this had come out a month or two ago, the impact of it, I think, is much greater. Coming out after Edge of Darkness in Battle of Hoth, where we know we're getting some more speeders. You know, it's really going to be a question of, like, either this is going to be a really cool pod, or it's going to be one of those pods that you always look at and go, oh, yeah, you know, I really love to run these cards out of the pod, but because of the pod system, I just don't have room for this particular pod.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. Maybe running it as a one of, right? So that if you get the objective, it's great, but that your deck isn't built around it. I know one ofs are a tricky thing in the system, but.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's anything in this pod that's complicated. That I would want one of.
I mean, the thing would be is like then you won't have four of the shadow operatives, right? So that's not clogging up your deck. You know, you have once if they see cards coming from this objective set, they won't know how many you have. So then they'll be expecting the narrow escapes as a way of defense. The holdout blaster might just appear and make something amazing out of nowhere. I mean, that one of kind of system really kind of can throw off, especially a well informed opponent about what's actually happening in your deck, like I like to do to you all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it does mess with the person who has perfect information, because then they're thinking they have your deck figured out, and when you have one ofs, it really messes with them for a while. I don't love it as a one of, mainly because I like the objective a lot, and I feel like if you're running it as a one of, you're just conceding that you're not going to see that objective. Like, you might, but in no way can you build around it.
Sure. I guess so, I'm just suggesting not to build around it.
Yeah. And I think I'm suggesting the reverse, that if you put this pod in, it feels like a pod you're really building around, and you're saying, okay, there's something in this pod that I'm willing to give up great units and give up great resources because, you know, I'm building a combo deck or something like that. I really feel like this is going to be one of those essential pods for combo decks. And this is something I feel like we haven't seen in this game. I feel like the game has been a much more about aggro decks
and
about control decks. And combo is just so unreliable, and especially in a small card pool, and especially a small card pool where you're forced to take cards you don't want. Combo decks are really hard. I think this makes a combo deck more viable.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that, definitely. I I've been playing that Jedi deck that has the one of the Godals and the one of the Sisters of Alia. And I think it does that because I think it does okay because it doesn't have the pressure of having to see those cards and having those cards either be active or interactive at any one point. So that's all I can see. That's the only reason why I can think of it as being like, if this was a one of, you're not requiring it to be there. Like, it's that last one. Maybe you've already considered resources in all of your other objective sets, and now all of a sudden, you know, you're getting to that last set of cards. Maybe you use a limit one per objective set. You have a spot for one objective, and you can say, all right, I'm going to throw this one in there because if I get some of the cards that are part of this, it can really make or break.
Yeah,
what my opponent does to me.
Yeah, I think, though, we're going to get to a point where, like, I know we're not at this point yet, but, like, Luke, you might just be building a deck and be like, I have room for one pod. You know what? I'll just throw Luke in there. He's got Luke, a resource, a million other good cards, or Falcon, if he has a resource in his pod, or Chewbacca, or any number of really good cards. Like, if you're just thinking, like, I need a decent card here, it feels like those are going to be the things you go to. But you may be right. This may be one of those that people end up splashing one of in there. But more importantly, who's the dude with the eye patch?
I have no idea.
So is this Greedo, like the guy he killed before he ran into Han? Or I don't know. It doesn't look like he's worried about him, though. He's kind of like checking out the room while he works on his iPad.
We have one of the comments I wanted to point out, Tiny. Sure. Super Sage has a comment here. I don't know if you're looking at the chat. It says, one of the advantages I see is of this is the ability to make decisions based on your hand for the next turn. Should I chud block? Yes, because I drew two chuds. That ability to see the future turn can be huge.
I agree. And that's really one of the weird things about this game. Because your hand is used in edge battles, it is really hard to plan for the future. And in order to plan for the future, you're making your present much more difficult by saying, like, okay, I've got Han, Luke, and Yoda in hand, I have to hold two of them for multiple turns and clog up my hand. Yeah, this will be interesting for that, to know your future before it gets there, and make decisions based on it. And also it allows you to improve your future. You know, if you've seen your future, it's bleak, you just dump it all into an edge battle and get a new future.
Yeah, it's not too terrible that way.
Yeah, so it could be really cool.
Yeah.
And I'd like to apologize to our friend Neil, Red Squadron K. Apparently the random number generator has matched us up in the Octagon tournament this week. So that was unfortunate when I saw that. Ah, so I thought maybe Mr. Eyepatch was cool, Sarah. But I didn't realize him and Greedo were such friends, or maybe that's not Greedo.
I think there's a very large number of, what are they, Rodinians in the Star Wars universe, Tiny. They don't all have to be Greedo.
I think they're Rodians, but
Rodians?
I wouldn't go against you and your
stuff. No, that sounds about right. Somebody's saying it's Greedo's cousin, Beto.
I don't know if that's right or not, but let's see.
I'm calling it, being called a Rodian racist, because they all look the same to me.
Very interesting.
Well, that's the review of the spoiled objective set for the upcoming Battle of Hoth Force Pack. I think this was the time that we were going to talk about letting the community, people who are in the stream, we have 54 live viewers right now. If people had questions or thoughts or...
Yeah, you can ask pretty much anything you want here.
Anything you want. For those of you who are here early and heard all of mine and Tiny's private conversation, you can please refrain from asking that directly. But you can always email us at our Gmail account, smugglersdenpodcast@gmail.com, and ask us about those personal questions.
And yes, the images will be posted later today on the Facebook page. And the podcast of this episode will come out probably later today, but maybe tomorrow, depending on how things go. So this is your chance to get on the podcast and to ask whatever burning question you've ever had. I would say if you have a Star Wars-related trivia question you want to ask Ben, you should do that, because he tends to think he knows a lot. And I
don't tend to. I just know I know more than you.
Well, you definitely know more than me. That is not debatable. All right, so Ben, what is your favorite card of the pod then?
I really like Narrow Escape. I mean, the objective is really strong. But yeah, I think Narrow Escape is really the card for it in me. I really think that ability to... I hate Force Lightning so much. And the ability to not have to, like, when it comes in, to be able to reflect it and make the dark side player feel what it feels like to be Force Lightning. I think that's like a, especially because they have such a limited number of event cancels, right? Like, you know, they could be looking at it and be like, oh, there's no 3PO on the board. They've already played both their counter strokes. I'm going to play this Force Lightning. It's going to be great. And I'm like, boop. Never mind.
And that's one place where a one of it could be amazing, if you could hide the other cards and make it look like you don't have a cancel. That would be kind of cool. That actually is a way that I might really like it as a one of. But it can be really tough to hide cards that long, because that means four, or I guess you'd only have two shadow operatives, but one's probably in your hand just sitting there the whole game along with your Narrow Escape, as you're trying to disguise this card that you have just so you can screw them on their Force Lightning. But it might be worth it.
Yeah. So, Tiny, somebody try to, is quizzing me. BFET, 1138 is trying to ask me a expanded universe question. What is Boba Fett's granddaughter's name?
Wow.
Yep. I don't know if I'm going to have that one.
Boba Fett's granddaughter's name. I'm going to go with Marcy.
It's something Fett, I bet.
Marcy Fett. we'll see if I'm right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think you are.
Yeah, I don't think I am. So I have a trivia question for you guys then. What is the name of Ben's cat?
Oh my god, why would they know that?
Well, if they're going to ask you Boba Fett's granddaughter, You know? This is how the world works, man. And they can't Google that one.
Oh, there you go.
What was it?
Hola Penguin.
Well, of course. He is. Was it? It's not Fetty McFetface, is it?
So. Boba Fett's granddaughter's name?
No, like your cat's name.
Oh, no, that's also not the case either.
That would be a really long, horrible cat name.
Yeah.
Here, Fetty McFetface.
I just call it Face for short.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably what everyone loves about you.
Look, there it is. Myrta Geb is his granddaughter.
Oh, I knew that, yeah. That's what when I said Marcy, I meant Myrta. I just had it mixed up in my mind. And did he have this after he died in the Sarlacc, since that's where he died?
What? He didn't die.
He died in the Sarlacc. He went in, he never came out.
I don't think definitely not the case.
Yeah, well, I know supposedly doesn't die, but in the
book, I was gonna say, look at this. The sacred voice is pointed out to you, Tiny. He doesn't die in the Sarlacc. There's a card called Reversal of Fate of him flying out of the Sarlacc.
That is later revisionist history after fanboys decided they loved Boba Fett. Which I know this is gonna sound blasphemous. I don't understand the rampant love for Boba Fett. He's not that cool.
What do you mean? How can you say that?
What does he do?
He's a bounty hunter, and even just the idea of it is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that is cool, I guess, but he doesn't really do anything. I like IG-88 better. He looks cool.
Yeah, but IG-88 literally did nothing.
Yeah, right. So there you go.
All of those bounty hunters have, like, a mythology just because how cool they are, because they're bounty hunters.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, well, I guess it's like Darth Maul and his robotic legs or something.
Is that a thing that happened?
I don't know. I think so. What? Like, whoever would kill Darth Maul after one movie has real problems. Like, as soon as he died, the other people in the EU were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Darth Maul cannot be dead. He's too cool. So, yeah, he's back. Everyone comes back.
Everybody comes back. It's like comic books, right?
Just the way it works. I don't know what you said there, but I'll
like
say.
It's like comic books.
Oh, comic books. Yeah, yeah. Yep. Yeah. So anyone else have any questions for us? Any
excitement for Edge of Darkness? I was telling people last night that I really woke up Sunday morning, and I was like, oh, my God. Is it Edge of Darkness Day yet? And it wasn't, but I was still really excited about it. We have a question from JMCB1001.
Yep, that's Jarrett, by the way.
Jarrett.
The guy who runs Top Tier Gaming, for those of you who don't know. A great site for Star Wars LCG stuff. There you go, Jarrett. You gotta like that.
I think that question is directed at you.
What was the question?
Do you remember that thing I said you could possibly have?
Oh, yeah, I do. I sure do. Jarrett, are you saying I should announce that thing that you said that I could possibly have? This is the worst radio ever, by the way.
It's interactive, Tiny. That's what the people demand.
I guess that's true. Oh, we can have it. All right. Here comes a live announcement. The Top Tier Gaming Group has generously donated a regional trophy to the regional, to end all regionals, the Octagon Regional. So now there's actually a regional trophy on the line.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm up there with everybody with the emoticons. That sounds pretty crazy.
Yeah, too bad Ben's not in it. How you say womp womp?
Womp womp. Octagon is not Mac friendly, and I have still really hard times using my virtual machine to get it to run properly.
Tisk tisk.
No. So we had a real question, Tiny, about the cards. It says, can you use Narrowscape to redirect a targeted strike?
I don't believe so.
I don't believe so either. I think the force icons are different than effects.
Yeah, card effects are things that you play. Those are combat icons. So that'd been cool. By the way, now that there's a trophy on the line, I'm desperately rooting for Neil to win, so I can just bring it to the shop and give it to him. I don't have to mail it. Oh, actually, never mind. I don't have to mail it. I hope someone from a far-off, distant land wins, that Jared has to mail it across the universe. Maybe someone on Endor, an Ewok, could win it. That'd be cool.
And then they would have to ship it to Endor?
Yes. Could you please ship this to Endor?
There you go. Super Sage is in Norway. He wants it to be sent to Norway.
There we go. Super Sage, you just won the event. Congrats.
But... yeah, Jared, that would have been really good if you had put a stipulation there.
Sorry, Jared. That's what happened.
Oh, Super Sage is only in Canada. It's not
Oh, man. Well, then never mind. You did not win the event. I take that all back.
It'd be, I think it would be even way better if it was, like, you know, some, like, really far-off, distant, like, you know, Norway is good. I mean, I'm sure it costs a lot of money to send things to Norway, but I bet you there are places that are even more, like, Madagascar.
Yeah.
Like, a game reserve on Madagascar. They just have, like, internet for, like, 2 hours a day, and that guy just plays Octagon in those 2 hours to to win the tournament.
That would be cool. I'm in a meta.
Oh, did you see this? Jarrett says Justin or him are going to be the ones who are going to leave it. Or they're going to win the whole event.
Justin is off to an inauspicious start, so he's going to have to turn things around. But you never know. Yeah. There are some people at 4-0 right now. Not me. Tiny Grimes is not at 4-0, he said. I got whooped, too, in one of my games. So nothing I can say about that. Someone whooped me.
Doesn't surprise me. Happens all the time.
Oh, we did have another question.
Yeah, did we?
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
Four Wallace wants to know, hey, Ben, are Rebels terrible?
You know, let's see what happens with the Battle of Hoth Force Pack. They're better. They're much better. When the first time we asked that question, oh, God, they're so much better than then. But when we get the speeders that we're going to get in the next Force Pack, I think things are just going to be... It's going to be crazy. That Hoth operations objective becomes so bonkers. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I agree. The one problem, and I was talking to Neil about this, is that that Desolation of Hoth deck I made completely screws a lot of Rebel decks. And when I built it, I wasn't even thinking that it turned off all their objectives. But it actually will probably turn off Hoth operations.
What will? Sorry, I missed that.
The Desolation of Hoth deck that runs 8 Hoth objectives. If you get 3 of them out, they will not have Hoth operations online because it says they have to run more Hoth objectives.
It's true, but they might have Echo Base as a, and that counts as an extra Hoth objective.
Yeah, and they might have to do that. Like if Desolation of Hoth starts becoming a really popular deck, which it very well may not, with things like the Executor coming down the pipe, and we don't know what Edge of Darkness is going to look like much for the dark side, but if there's some cool scum stuff in there, there could very well become the new shiny decks that basically make the Desolation of Hoth that one force pack pony. We'll have to see.
We'll see what happens. This is going to be, it's going to be super, super exciting. Like I said, I am not envious of the people who are going to sit there and test and test and test and test till they come up with the best decks of with the new packs that have come out. I'm just going to ride their coattails and hope that I can catch up, but I'll try some, but I don't know if I, hell man, it's hard.
Yeah. That's the nice thing. You know, Basileel will play like 100 games in that first weekend. So that'll be good. I don't know about Jarrett and his crew. It seems like they play a couple thousand games, so hopefully they will. And then I'll get in no games because the Octagon file will take 2 weeks to get updated. So I'll just be sitting at home every day putting in Card Game DB. Where the heck is the Octagon file?
And everybody will love you so much for
yep.
it.
Yep, it's going to be great. So hopefully that happens pretty quick.
We got a new question.
All right.
From Ola Penguin. Here's a non-strategic question. What's a character vehicle location you'd like to see that you haven't seen yet?
I know my answer is going to make everyone very angry.
Oh, you're going to say like Jar Jar Binks or something.
No. I'm going to say Mace Windu.
Oh, God.
I've always loved Mace Windu. Now, remember, this is back when Samuel L. Jackson used to not be awful. When he signed on to do the Star Wars movies and be Mace Windu, I was really excited, and so I've always loved Mace Windu. So I'm hoping he comes in at some point.
That would be the worst. I really hope they keep him away from the prequels for as long as physically possible.
Well, Ola Penguin is claiming that they don't have the license. I think they might, though.
Yeah, Pojo M Magic the Gathering, MTG. Is that what that stands for, Pojo?
I think it stands for Pojo Might Thou Greater. That's what I think it stands for. See, he said yep. So I was right.
Pojo Meeting. What? That's not what it stands for. Really?
Well, I guess. Yeah. I guess it does.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't even remember the question now. Yeah. But, well, Bale is not prequel. Bale is also...
But that's not the question. It was cards that we don't know are coming out. Yeah, see, Pojo MTG stands for Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, I think we all knew that. I think we were just messing with you, Ben.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
But it's fun. Yeah, so I'd like to see Mace out of the original trilogy. Who are you most excited about while I think about somebody?
Oh, man. I mean, I've seen a bunch of stuff. I really like the idea of a Mara Jade or a Grand Admiral.
She is not in the original trilogy, by the way.
That's not the question.
Okay.
That's not the question that people asked. And she's in the realm of that part of the Star Wars universe. She occurs in the expanded universe in that time frame. And yes, the other one I would think would be awesome would be Grand Admiral Thrawn. I saw a really great, at one point, a user-generated card of Grand Admiral Thrawn that I thought was perfect. I thought that was an amazing, it was something like he was 4 cost for 2 health capacity, but then had, I forget what his ability was, but it was like ridiculous.
Yeah. How about Wicket? We're all excited about Wicket, I think.
Oh man, I just want more Ewoks in general.
Yeah. I'm kind of disappointed we still haven't seen another pod. I'm guessing they'll
you're
be
not gonna
like,
see you're gonna it's, Endor, it's, like, I don't know if you know this, dude. But we're only in the Battle of Hoth.
That's true.
There's like a ton of other stuff before the Battle of Endor happens. I don't know if you remember the way the movies work or like the sequential where it happens.
That's an excellent point. Yeah. So Luke is not yet doing his somersault. Is that what you're telling me?
I guess
he's
not.
He's still a whiny little, you know what, at this point?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wonder what's going to happen. How many copies at the end of the day are we going to have of each of the main characters?
Lots.
You think it's going to be lots?
I think Jaime Lannister has like 7 different versions in Game of Thrones.
Mm. So that's what you're expecting?
Oh, yeah. Like the characters people love will have tons. And also keep in mind, Game of Thrones has way more characters because he kills them so regularly. He has to have more dudes. It feels like at least than in Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I have no idea what's going to happen. I mean, so this is interesting. I had this thought the other day, and I'm going to spread panic through the remaining 38 people who are listening to the live stream. But normally, right? I mean, if you look at the Game of Thrones, they start spoiling or at least announcing the names of the next chapter packs way in the middle of, you know, the current chapter pack cycle. We're already up to the announcement of chapter pack number 4 for the next one. And I think the cycle is just ending for the chapter packs. We haven't seen anything yet for the next chapter pack cycle. We don't know any names. We don't know what's going to happen. Like, is it set in a certain time?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's a little bit unnerving, but remember, this did happen with one of the Game of Thrones cycles where
there was a 3-month gap. Tiny, don't tell me there's going to be a 3-month gap.
I guess that's what I'm telling you. Maybe there's going to be a little bit of a gap. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not worried that FFG is going to lose the license, and that's why they're not announcing them. I'm just wondering if like the playtesters didn't get their playtesting done, or the design crew got a little bit behind, or something.
Yeah, we already have 3 of the next net packs for Netrunner already have been announced.
We don't mention the word Netrunner around.
What? Why? I like Netrunner.
I know, I'm just kidding. Let's see. Yeah. What is that? What do you mean by that, Jarrett, that I don't think anything from the next cycle will be around?
When and where is he referring to on that next set? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
He's like, uh-oh.
Oh, did he get in over his head? I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to see. There is, of course, the question about will Disney renew since they're cutting all ties with everyone? So we'll have to see if hopefully they do.
Hopefully, they don't. They do renew. They don't. Yeah. They don't want to be cut.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully they renew, because I've actually played all the Star Wars card games and it's frustrating. Like the Star Wars TCG. Admittedly, was not that great of a game, but my brother and I were really into it, and the game was really starting to get a lot better, and they had even designed a whole nother set, and they were just like, we're done.
Right.
We're like, what do you mean we're done? Nope, we're done. We're not even releasing the cards we designed. We're just done. Yeah. And Decipher CCG, the same thing happened. They had a whole nother set design that didn't get to come out.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think it would be interesting. I feel like it could be one of those things where if FFG lost a license, I mean, I don't know what they would do for some of the other product lines that they have. I mean, that was like somebody's point there, is that they have all these product lines, they'll be able to pay for it. But it would just be interesting. You could conceivably have the same mechanic and like create your own cards, right? Like, and just have them reference. I don't know how it would work exactly. I mean, I guess you have your own symbols, right? So you're not actually referenced using the term Rebel Alliance or anything like that. You have those symbols on the card. You could just have, like, you know, you just make up your own characters and stuff as a development team from FFG.
That's the exact same game, just not the same game.
Exactly the same game, but not Star Wars anymore.
I think for me personally, I would like that game infinitely less, because I just love the fact that it's in the Star Wars universe. That's really... I'm not saying I wouldn't like the game otherwise, but I probably wouldn't have played it because I'm already playing Game of Thrones. I really don't like to play two games at once. I don't have that kind of time.
Mental capacity either.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I can be bad at hundreds of games, but to be really great at any one game...
I'm sure you are, Tiny. I'm sure you are.
You really do have to be dialed into the one game to be good at it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, any other questions here? Otherwise, we may just wrap this sucker up.
Yeah. Some of us have to go back to work.
Yeah. Yep. Dun, 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 dun. Let's see. Anything I can ask you, Ben, that would just be great for the internet? Let's see. Oh, I got one. I got a good question for you. Jared, who do you like better, Ben, Gabe or Andrew?
Oh, my God. Well, I don't think Gabe is on the stream, so I'm going to say Andrew. We have a question from Jared. What is the best light side deck and dark side deck?
That's a hard question.
Four Walls, what is the worst pod in the game?
Okay, that's a little easier.
Yeah. Well, that, you think that one's easier?
Maybe. Let's see, worst pod in the game. That would entail me knowing
all of those terrible neutral
pet pods.
Pods.
So while I open up my deck editor in Octagon so I can see all the pods, let's tackle the best decks. What do you think is the best light side deck right now?
Oh, God.
Keep in mind, this only counts till Thursday. Everything changes.
Yeah, everything changes in what, 4-3 days?
Yeah.
Oh, Decoy and Dantooine might be the worst. I agree with that.
See, I'm starting to like that pod.
Oh, boy. All right, so I was going to say best light side deck. So I still haven't seen anything that runs as consistently well as Echo or Smuggler's Caverns.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still really strong. I've been watching some of the results come through on the podcast email account and seeing some of the results and some of the stuff that people are posting there. And it just, you know, it just seems like when you play Smuggler's Caverns, you might not win all the time, but it definitely gives you some really strong consistency. The number of objectives it knocks down, that length, you know, the time it takes for the dial. I mean, it all seems really pretty strong still. For the dark side, I've been playing the Desolation of Hoth deck for quite a bit. I had the run-in yesterday. Why can Ben and I play this one? the Desolation of Hoth deck, you know, I was playing yesterday, and it was one of those things where it felt like, you know, I was doing pretty okay with it, but I was playing against Gabe, and he had second turn Luke Skywalker.
Uh-oh.
Third turn Han Solo.
And did you have Killing Cold out?
And three protectors.
Did you have Killing Cold?
I did not have Killing Cold.
Yeah, you probably lose that.
Yeah. And so it was just a very tough thing. And I think that's the thing. So Andrew asked, Tiny, why can't Ben and I play Desolation of Hoth as well as you can? And as I said yesterday, it's all because Tiny top, you know, sets his deck so that he gets those Wampas right when he needs them. It's like, oh, free Wampas, plus I get to put out some other units.
Yeah, this is the way I've started to look at Desolation of Hoth, the deck. If you don't get Killing Cold and they get Luke followed by Han, you lose. But the same is really true for any dark side deck, that if you don't get what you want and they get Luke followed by Han plus protectors so that you can't just force choke them, you're going to lose that also. Maybe not as harshly. Like, you might have a better chance to come back because the deck is built more to come back. But definitely, I would agree with what people have been saying, that if Lightside gets exactly what they want and you get your worst-case scenario as Darkside, you lose, but I'm not sure how different that is than, like, a Devastating Sith deck.
Sure. And so there's a bunch of responses here on the chat. So Jarrett thinks that Risky Business is a better deck with Smuggler's Cavern being a close second.
I don't even know what Risky Business is.
I was going to say, I don't know what that is either. Skate Pharmacy has a response and said, I played against an insane trooper deck the other day with Veers, Vader, and Mahdi. So much blast damage.
I could see that.
I could see that being pretty good. I haven't actually tried something like that.
I feel like troopers are definitely on an uptick right now.
Mm.
Veers, I mean, he just makes those troopers amazing. It's going to be a kind of expensive deck. I'm not sure how you're rounding out the deck, and it still feels like an early Han can just wreck that deck. But an early
Jared
Han
is,
wrecks
Jared
most
is deck. Shocked that we don't know what Risky Business is.
What I want to know is who would have the nerve to name a deck like that? I mean, who would name a deck Risky Business? Come on, Jared.
And so it's God, man. They're gonna start burning you in effigy. So it's two Luke, two Han, two Prep, two Guardians, two Echo.
So it's basically Smuggler's Caverns without Yoda and adding preparation for battle.
Yes.
So you have.
So it's using the shield abilities to.
Right. So you have less resources, you lose your Counter-Strike for Force Lightning, but then you're picking up shields and late-game blast damage, possibly. So seems I would put that sort of a little more like a Rebel deck. Like, it's going to be a little less consistent because you have less resources. I remember reading his write-up on it, and I thought Risky Business was a pretty apt name for it because it is a riskier deck. I feel like Smuggler's Caverns is the most, like, consistent, efficient deck, but consistency can mean losing. Like,
right.
If you are consistent and your opponent gets a Navy deck that just crushes you right away, you're going to lose. And it feels like this deck is a little bit more like a Rebel deck where it's going to be a little less consistent and probably have a little bit more punch to it.
So there's another question from B. McPherson, which I also was about to pronounce BMC Pearson, because I'm terrible at the English language. And the question is, do you guys think a deck exists in the current pre-Thursday meta that has yet to be discovered that would be competitive?
I'm not sure there is for Lightside, just because Lightside is so hampered with not having resources. There might be. I kind of gave up testing just because there wasn't much point. But it feels like there could be a Jedi weenie deck out there that hasn't quite been discovered. I know Ben has one. The table flip guys have one. I don't love either of them, but they seem promising. And so I feel like if someone put in the time, we might be able to find one. Dark Side, I feel like, has tons of cool decks right now. Like someone was saying, Trooper decks are really under the radar right now. I feel like if someone really wanted to, we might be able to make a top-level Trooper deck. I feel like there's tons of variations on Walkers, Troopers, all that kind of stuff. Veers opens up a lot of possibilities, and because Darkseid has infinite resources, you can pretty much do whatever you want.
It does have a lot of resources. Pojo Magic the Gathering suggested one here, under the radar deck being 2x Vader, 2x Emperor, 2x Council, 2x Lucrative Contract, and then 1x Sabotage and 1x Shadows.
Maybe. That feels just worse to me than like a Devastating Sith. My problem with Lucrative is that you're losing a lot.
He says it hasn't lost the game yet, Tiny.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that much. I've had decks that have won like 40 games, but like unless you're playing against top level players, it sometimes testing isn't as valuable as it seems, as we've seen. And that's not meant to be a shot at anyone, but like I've had decks where I've played on the stream and won like 20 straight games, and I take it to the shop and
you lose, you know, the first time you play it. Oh,
not even
God,
just the first time, like the first four times, and then I'm like, all right, that deck was actually garbage. I just thought it was good.
Oh, God, I really loved those days. Those are my favorite days. When you come in and you're all like, well, this is an undefeated deck. And you clap your hands and everybody's like, boom. And then you sit down and get your face stomped.
Well, one of the reasons, Pojo, why I don't love the deck is the tournament environment. It feels like Lucrative is going to be in a more straight control deck where it's not blowing up a lot of objectives. So I guess my question to you would be, not just has it won games, but has it won games in which it's able to blow up objectives as well? That was the problem I ran into. I was running a really cool weak way control deck, basically a regular Sith deck with the weak ways, and I don't think it's ever lost for me, but I don't think it's ever destroyed an objective either. And so that becomes really hard because Rebel decks will probably still get two objectives down against it, and just because you win, it doesn't set you up that well for the match. And that's the only reason that I say I don't like that style deck. It worries me that in a match you're going to be in trouble.
So Pojo's response being that once you lock down your opponent's characters, Vader and Emperor can swing in and take out that one or two objectives that you might need.
Yeah, if you can lock them down. The problem is Echo Caverns makes it really difficult to lock people down now. But, and I'm not saying that it can't be great. I'm just saying I'm not sure I personally like it with as much as like a Devastating Sith. But then again, I haven't tested it all that extensively. I played a couple games with Lucrative Contracts, and I just didn't really like it in a Sith deck. I know a lot of people said they liked it in a Sith deck.
He's talking about Explosive Charge now is taking out your Echo Caverns.
Yep, but a lot of people are running the one of light side pod just to have the resources, which comes with the protection for Explosive Blast or whatever it's called. And I think more people are going to be running that if it becomes a meta card. It's going to be one of those interesting meta plays where if Explosive Charge becomes really popular, then everyone's going to have to play the one of light side pod, which is already a good pod, the one in the last set, the neutral one.
All them droids and tauntauns.
Yeah, exactly. For me, worst pod, we didn't cover this yet, it's Looking for Droids. The light side one is actually decent. Like, Gabe came with a rainbow deck, and I mocked him mercilessly, and then was like, wow, it actually worked all right. The dark side one doesn't work at all. It doesn't have the cards that allow you to have all the matching. It's just basically a garbage card, a garbage pod. It has its worst, which is phenomenal. And I actually won a game with its worst. It was the greatest moment. My first Desolation of Hoth deck had its worst in it, and I won a game with it. And then I took it out because the pod's terrible. But it was quite the exciting moment. How about you, Ben? What's your least favorite pod or the worst pod?
And I still thought DK. What
do you think is the worst one?
The decoy at Dantooine is still pretty bad.
So this is why I kind of
like... Oh, I know what mine is. Boba Fett's pod.
Go ahead.
Boba Fett's pod.
Boba Fett's pod. But it has Boba Fett.
I know.
You hate Boba Fett.
God, I wish Boba... Oh, man. Boba Fett. Boba Fett.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
That's one of the saddest moments, I think, for everyone was when they realized, oh, Boba Fett's garbage. Wow.
There are plenty of two health capacity Imperial guys and Imperial units, and everybody plays them. But I'm wondering so much more if it's just the pod is weak. I mean, I feel like Boba Fett is just so strong. Like, yes, he probably comes out, he has a target on him. And unlike Vader and Palpatine, when they have a target on him, it takes a while to kill him. You know, the one Rebel Assault. I mean, it only really has a downside when you're playing against somebody who's playing Rebels, which you see on and off. But, I think the rest of the pod is just so underwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, Mandalorian armor is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe it is. I it's just one of those things. It's like, yes, it loses. It auto loses to Rebel Assault. But, you know, as the card pool gets diluted, as amazing Rebel Assault is, maybe you'll just see it less and less. And then, you know, Boba Fett becomes stronger.
Maybe, yeah. I like to talk about the early days back when we didn't know what we were doing because I did crazy, stupid things. But I'll always remember I had Vader with two Mandalorian armors on him. So that guy never died.
That guy never died.
I remember that game and thinking like, oh my God, I'm so amazing. And my opponent was like, that's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. How could I ever beat you like that? And then now looking back, like, wow, that was really stupid. Why would you ever put two Mandalorian armors on Vader? Like, that's pretty unnecessary. But it was fun. All right, so I'm going to tell you why I like Decoy at Dantooine.
Yeah,
This is going to be one of those pods that people start playing more and more as, first of all, as Leia becomes more popular, because it has fallback. I've always liked fallback, very similar to those guys that we were talking about today that we spoiled the... I don't even remember their names now.
The operatives,
right, where you can jump them back to your hand, similar to Tactical Retreat. This card could work in combination with that pod to turn on the objective itself. That's really strong. And A New Hope is really cool. Like, you can do some really neat things with A New Hope.
Yeah, I mean, I guess A New Hope is like that reset, right? The problem I felt with that originally was in the Rebel deck, right? In a purely Rebel deck where you're playing really cheap vehicle units that you never kept enough of them on the board long enough. But right. If you were playing this in a Rebel deck supporting something else that had a lot of big units, and you were playing against something that was like the Desolation of Hoth where they want to have flooded the board, and you can play fall back and keep something like, you know, Han with the holdout blaster, Luke with Trust Your Feelings, and a Protector on the board, and they have to return all of their chuds and can only keep something like, you know, the very bare minimum of what their deck allows them to do. So maybe it's like a Veers and a Ice Tromper and something like that. And all of a sudden you're like, well, this game's in the bag now.
Yeah, and I like doing it at weird times. So like, you attack, they defend, then you play A New Hope. And then they're like, well, what am I going to do now? If I don't choose to keep on the board the dude I defended with that normally I wouldn't want to keep on the board, now I'm going to have it be unopposed. Then Luke now can use his targeted strike to kill other dudes rather than having to deal with the guy in front of him. Then, you know, it makes it easier to clear their board with swindles. Like, it's really cool against something like a Desolation of Hoth deck where you could throw back to their hand tons of dudes. Then it comes around to their turn. Not only do they not get to draw new cards, they have to discard a bunch of these cards because their hand is so big now. It just feels like a really cool card that we haven't been able to exploit yet. And I think there's going to be a deck out there that does it.
Yeah.
I just don't know what it's going to be yet.
False lead is okay as an enhancement, a decoy enhancement. That's the trade on.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm not a huge fan of it, but it's not terrible.
I really like Neil's suggestion with the new Wookiee synergy, when you have the ability to damage a whole bunch of them,
yeah,
but not kill them, and then use a new hope to bring them back and do it all over again.
Yep, and there's a Wookiee right in that pod as well.
Yeah.
So that'll be, and he's a Wookiee before, where I've always looked at him and went, that guy's kind of overcosted. I don't really like him. 3 for 2, especially in a Rebel deck, because...
But if it's a rebel smuggler spy, I mean, because that's the best thing about this pod. When you look at it like this, right, is that there's no vehicles in it.
Yeah.
So it does really synergize well with things that protect characters, or in this case, enhances Wookiees in some capacity. But actually, I'm going to take it back. I think Decoy and Dantooine is going to completely be awesome come Thursday.
You're hilarious. Worst pod in the game.
Yeah, worst part of the game. Wait. I mean, it has 3-0 cost cards.
Uh-oh, what did I do now? Ola Penguin, am I stealing someone else's idea again? That's apparently my new thing, is that I steal people's ideas without realizing I've done it. So
yeah, I definitely...
I'm being called out once again.
Well, I mean, you always steal things.
Yeah, I guess. All right, so let's see. Any other question? Well, Neil...
Andrew, it's because Neil comes up with amazing decks.
Right, and he comes up with so many of them. Like, every week he has a new crazy deck. And I know Neil's not going to like for me to say this, especially now on the radio, but I always feel like they're not quite perfect. And so then I look at them and I'm like, that was a neat idea. I bet if I just change these two pods, I'll like it at least better. It might be perfect for Neil, but for my playstyle, it'll fit better if I do this, and then I'll change it. And then it's a whole new deck because of the way this game works. You know, it's 10 cards different, but it's really a really similar deck to what Neil built. So I'll say this right now. I think Neil is, along with Brian, our most creative deck builder in our meta. And he is the guy that I steal lots of stuff from and give no credit. So
yeah, he's
credit to you, Neil. You're the man.
Neil's comment is, if I just play these two pods and give Neil no credit.
And that's the only reason I changed the pods, too. The deck was actually perfect, but then I would have to credit Neil.
Right. So Pojo Magic the Gathering wants to know if on your next stream game that you'll play his Dark Side deck with the lucrative contract.
Probably not. Since I already forgot what it was. But,
and you don't have the ability to scroll.
Well, I'll forget by the time that comes around. But Pojo, email the deck to the show, and then I'll probably try it once. But if it falls apart or it's terrible, I'm only going to give it one try, which is totally unfair.
I was going to say, that's like the shittiest thing to say.
Right, exactly. Like, well, the deck didn't draw Palpatines. It's a bad deck. It just feels like it also doesn't have enough resources to be able to get Vader and Palpatine regularly. What I love about
the deck,
Devastating Sith, is that it has all those 2 and 3 resource enhancements. This is just more of like, well, I get those little resources or I don't.
He really is not enjoying any of your comments right
now. Yep, he thinks I'm an idiot, which is fair.
Look at this. Pojo, I am copying it right now.
Oh, all right.
Copying it right now. I'm sending it to Tiny on Skype, where there'll be a record of it. And now he has no excuses. I did the scrolling. You didn't have to write an email.
Nice. 6 resources is not that much when you're trying to deploy 6 cost characters.
Now, he's talking about the pirates. The pirates will give you
3 resources. Don't count.
Pirates don't count.
They cost 5. Come on now.
They stick around for a while. They only have 4. They have 4 health.
Yeah, and then you triple tactics them up, and then they're gone for eternity. Yeah, I don't know. I'll try it. I'm not saying I think I'm gonna like it, but I'll try it just for you, Pojo, because I love you so much. That might have been too much. I don't know.
That seemed like you would. Yeah, go for it.
Oh, I almost said something really bad about your private life, Ben. But
oh my God, thank you for not saying something.
I keep forgetting we can't edit this, like, because it's going out live. Like, Ben and I usually spend most of the podcast saying terrible things to each other, and it's usually him saying terrible things to me, but today we haven't been able to do that. So, oh well.
And then, Tiny, you're becoming the...
Oh, goody.
Do these things on your stream for us. Jarrett wants you to run the risky business for him.
Can't wait. This might sound crazy, but I like to run decks that are newer and that I'm trying to test rather than the old decks that I already know what they do. Now, Pojo's deck, I've never seen before, so I will definitely run that. And I will definitely make a decoy deck on Thursday, not before then. I don't feel like decoy is quite where it needs to be. I've already tried desperately to make a decoy deck, but I will make one come Thursday. Probably not Thursday. Thursday I'll be like, all right, here's all the big units. I will put them all in a deck, and it will be terrible.
But so that's what we did with the. That's what we did though for. The original Smuggler's Den, right? As we put all of the big units in a deck, and it was like, oh, this actually works pretty well.
Yeah, well, that it's funny because for me it was more like, okay, we're going to put all the resources in. Screw it. Oh, they're with all the big guys. Well, that was fortuitous.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
We got a lot of people asking, why is this about you, Tiny?
Yeah, well...
The fans are demanding something. It's not about you.
That's
it's
true.
About the fans.
That is a good point. So, Pojo, I will play your deck, and I will love it. And, Jarrett, I might play your deck, and I might not love it. But that's only because Jarrett is already a friend of mine, so I don't have to be nice to Jarrett.
That's fair enough.
But again, we do thank them for donating a trophy because they are awesome and they run a good website. So and I'm going to say this. I've been a little hesitant to say this on the podcast because I don't know if it's a good idea. And maybe I'll edit it out. But you can go to Top Tier Gaming under the download section and download a file which has all the images for all the cards. But don't do it unless you already own all the cards.
That seems like you probably shouldn't have said that out loud.
Yeah, so I'll probably edit that out of the podcast. But there you go. So everyone run over there real quick.
All right, that's it. Let's wrap this baby up.
Wait, what? It's only been like an hour and 40 minutes?
Well, that's including our banter wow. beforehand that everybody could hear.
Yeah, that's a little bit too much. I have work I should be doing that I'm not going to do. So yeah,
I should be doing the same thing.
All right, guys. Well, it's been fun. Thanks for hanging in on the stream with us. Thanks for getting our Facebook likes to 400. That's
I forgot to announce that Facebook is at 400 likes right now. That's a crazy threshold, I think.
So we'll
probably
see.
Not for real stuff.
Yeah, we'll see if that drops significantly. They'll be like, oh, they did all the spoilers? We're all gone. Facebook likes 32.
Yeah, right. Done. Unlike. That's so, all right. We're at 401 right now.
401. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, like 300 of those are my mom. She has all kinds of accounts just to make me feel good. So, and your girlfriend probably has like 20. So there you go. All right, guys. Well, hopefully... Thursday, maybe Friday, we'll do a little bonus episode.
Oh, actually, my God, more bonus episodes.
You know what? I just remembered, we won't. Comic-Con, I'll be there with my family, so...
What?
We'll have to probably wait until next week to do a bonus.
This is shenanigans.
Unless we could do it Thursday night.
Part of your family?
Yeah, now, how dare me hang out with my family?
Well, I want to go to Comic-Con. I don't even want to hang out with you.
Well, if you were under 12, I could bring you for free like my daughter.
All right.
Sorry, man.
That's all right. We'll do something. I mean, we have a regularly scheduled podcast next week as it is, so.
Yep.
Maybe we can just do an extra long recording session. And then like a 30-minute preview and then a real thing on release, a regular release date.
Yeah, I might be able to do that. And I will definitely be cosplaying. I'm going as Ben Tully.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. So it should be great. And my wife is going as Andrew. So.
That's like a dream come true.
Actually, wait, no. I take it back. I'm going as Melanie. My wife is going as Andrew. It's going to be great. Talk about inside jokes.
Oh, my God. Andrew really does not like that, man. Hojo wants to know if he can become a guest speaker after you discover his deck is awesome.
If Pojo can?
Yeah.
If your deck is awesome, Pojo, and that means I think it's awesome. It might be awesome, and I just declare that it's not.
Because the ego is too large.
Yeah, no, if I think it's amazing, sure, I'll have you on. I love having guests on, especially to talk about decks they come up with. It makes it much more interesting to have people from different metas on the show, especially ones that like Rebels and things like that, so they can tell me how stupid I am, which is always fun. And apparently you've won 2 regionals, so that's pretty good. What meta are you in, by the way, Pojo? And please don't say, like, Northern Alaska. Oh, he's in Canada. So
No, Super Sage is in Canada.
Oh, okay. Which is fine. I mean, I my friend in Game of Thrones has won like 9 regionals in Canada.
Pojo telling us where he's from?
Yeah. What?
So well, now, we want to know your meta, Pojo. Tell us your meta.
So now the truth is coming out. The second win isn't technically a win.
The 1.5.
Not sure what that means.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. That sounds fine. I know
store issues. We had a bunch of those this regional season. What was the one Texas? We got the Texas meta.
Ah, cool.
There was a regional story time with Scarlet Knight right here. There was a regional story about some guys, I think it was the top tier gaming guys, driving up where they got there and it was somebody's house. And it was no longer a store, and FFG knew that the store was no longer running it, but people drove hours to get there to find out that it was in fact not even a store anymore. That is absolutely terrible. Jared, I'm so sorry that ever happened to you. That just sounds exactly like FFG, though.
Yes. And that's really what happens when 75 different stores get regionals and you have, like, what did they have, like 7 different games? I don't think they can monitor them all.
One guy doing it.
Oh, wow. And you even called ahead? Busy time, right. Because that makes more sense because they don't have the line. That's interesting.
You would think it would say it was disconnected. Busy just sounds like they're just trying to tease people into coming.
You're lucky they didn't say, come on in, it's in the basement, and then we never heard from you.
There's always that positive, right?
Whatever happened to those top-tier gaming guys?
Yeah, their site hasn't been updated in years.
That's weird. Man. And TGO somehow didn't come with. He was like the mastermind behind it because he wanted to be the top dog of top tier gaming. It's all coming together. All right. Well, I think we've gone down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, this is it.
Pretty far.
I need to go. People are going to start thinking I like left work already for the day.
Nice. All right. Well,
thanks for joining us, everybody.
Yep. And until next time.
May the force be with you.